two things in my heart, and I don't want to preach them both. I don't think. Father, give us direction in this moment. Thank you, Lord, that you give us ears to hear what the Spirit would say to the church today. Thank you, Lord, for this song that we've just been singing. I pray that it become just an anthem for our lives. God, we can boldly declare, it is well with my soul. That peace is overwhelming us because of the presence of the Holy Spirit. Thank you, Lord, for the men, the women, Lord, who have journeyed before us in the faith and brought us to this moment, Lord. And Lord, we are at a crossroads. We're always at a crossroads of decision making. Lord, help us to be obedient to your Spirit as you lead us and as you guide us and as you move us forward. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. If you have your Bibles, go with me to Exodus chapter 18. We're going to look there. And I think I'm just going to be real, real honest with you today. Can I just do that? This may be a little less preached because I don't have any notes on what I'm getting ready to preach. But it's just in my heart, and I feel like I need to say it and share it this morning. And so Exodus chapter 18, we're going to be there. Then we're probably going to be in Ephesians, or Acts rather, Ephesians chapter 4 and Acts chapter 6 most likely. You know, God, I've been meditating, and the scripture is there on the front of your bulletin this week. They're in John 14, verses, I think, 16 and 17 on the front of your bulletin. You know, Jesus is leaving, and he's told his disciples, I'm going to give you another like me. And that word, another, is the Greek word allos, A-L-L-O-S, or A-L-L-O-N, I think is the root word of it. And that means another of the same kind. It doesn't mean another of a different kind. So I brought a little illustration with you, and I really wish I had two. But let me just, do we understand what another of the same kind means? So if I have one bottle of water here, and I say, Stacy, you can have this one. You actually can have it. It's unopened. I didn't drink out of that one. This one is too. But Stacy, I'm leaving, and I want to give you another one of the same kind. Now, there are a little bit of a difference in them because one's cold and one's room temperature, right? But there's another way of saying another in the Greek, and it's another of a different kind. But Jesus didn't use that phrase. He said, I'm leaving, and when I leave, I'm going to leave you another of the same kind as myself. And who is that another? Well, it's the person of the Holy Spirit. And so I've been preaching on the kingdom and talking about the kingdom, and we've been going through this in there. I just really feel like I could probably preach kingdom for the next 24 weeks, but I can't. So I'm kind of bridging from kingdom to where we're going next week, and I'm gonna tell a little bit of a personal story. But there is another of a different kind. And so if I have a football, and you know I like football, right? This is a camo football, so if it lands just right in the grass, you won't find it. And if I have a football and I pull up another football, in fact, I think I'll just do that. It's another of a different kind. This one is my football. It's got some signatures on it. I can't figure out this one right here. It looks like Bubba Watson, but I'm pretty sure he didn't play football. But Coach Richt is on there. Matt Stafford's on there. Zach Mettenberger's on there. That's kind of funny, actually, if you're a Georgia fan. But that's another. It's another of a different kind. But when Jesus said, I'm going to give you another, he didn't say, I'm going to give you another of a different kind. He said, I'm going to give you another of the same kind. And so that when you walk through this world, you don't have to rely and depend on anything other than me, himself, Jesus, or now, in our case, the person of the Holy Spirit. I have a friend of mine, or as a colleague, he's a university professor in Oklahoma. This is just purely for fun. Can I just have a little bit of fun for a moment? He posted on a group on Facebook. Dr. Terry Trammell is his name. He's a brilliant preacher. Love that guy preaching. It's his annual glossary for football fans attending church for the first time. So if you're a first-time guest, we're going to kind of pick on me and some of y'all, but not you if you're a first-time guest, okay? So you've all heard these. So let me give you some phrases. I may do 10 or so this week. I may do 10 or so next week. But backfield in motion, we understand that, right? You've heard of that? It's people who get up and go to the restroom or the water fountain during the service. Back judge, people who sit on the back of the pew and judge the service, evaluate the service. Blitz, we actually had a blitz last week. That's when more than one offering is received in the service. Bowl game, we also had a bowl game last week. That's when that's the race to see who can get to the meal that's following the service. Get to the bowl. Y'all getting this? It's okay to laugh. Bump and run. That's what happens out there. That's the fellowship that happens after the service. Now, this one bothers me, and thankfully I've never noticed it, but clipping. You've heard of the foul clipping? That's people who cut their fingernails during the service. Oh, really? Does that happen, Rick? Yeah. I've seen it. If it happens here, I don't know it yet. Somebody will tell me now. A cornerback. You know what a cornerback is? It's the location of the sound booth. I thought that one was funny. Thank you, Bruce. He gave me a nod, obligatory, but it was a nod. Draft choice, that's whether you decide to sit near the vent or not. Draw play, we have this one quite often. That's people who doodle on the bulletin. And then Vicky was actually guilty of this one, encroachment. That's when the pastor says, or when someone says, "Pastor, I'd like to say something." That's called encroachment. I'll give you my notes later. Jesus said, "I'm going to give you another of the same kind. It's going to be another like me," so that we know that when we receive the person of the Holy Spirit, when we have the baptism of the Holy Spirit, when we're walking in the Spirit, we're walking in the same presence of Jesus. Because he's walking with us. So the kingdom is now realized. I've been preaching, I've been saying that the kingdom, we want to invite the reign of the king. We invite the king, Lord Jesus, you are king. We invite you into our midst and we want you to rule and reign. And then I've gone through and I've said this several times. We want to see you reign and rule in our homes. We want to see you reign and rule in our hearts. We want to see you rule and reign in our emotions, in our finances, in our affairs, in our interpersonal workings and relationship. We want to see the king, his rulership and his reign established in our lives. Whether it's a 9-to-5 or whether it's a 10-to-2 or whatever you do for a career, or if you're a stay-at-home mom or if you're a homeschool mom, we still want to see Jesus, your king, you are king, rule and reign in our life. And so we come to this place where I'm kind of wrapping up kingdom life today, and I want to move us toward where we're going for the next couple of weeks. I've had in my mind, purely in my mind, I don't know that I heard the Lord say this, that the next sermon series, y'all have seen those like do not enter signs with that big slash through, right? Don't go this way, you know what I'm talking about? I've had in my mind to have something graphically designed that said, "I'm okay, you're okay," with a big circle and a slash through it. Because the truth is, we're not always okay. Sometimes we have issues. Let me rephrase that. We have issues. I'll drop the sometimes part. Because we face life, and because we face an adversary who's going to create issues, if nothing else. If you're serving the Lord, you can expect resistance, and you can expect that the enemy of your life and your soul is going to bring obstacles, challenges, whatever, to create issues for your life. So that was in my mind, and that was kind of just rattling around. It's been rattling around there. I think I've told some of you folks about it. But I think I want to name and kind of transition from kingdom life into the next 2 or 3 weeks. I want to talk about walking wounded. I want to talk about walking wounded. We've all been wounded, right? Susan, I appreciate your testimony this morning. I know a little more of their testimony than she really went into. Of course, I'm not going to share it, but I appreciate the courage that she shared that with, because we've all been wounded. We've been wounded by one another. We've been wounded by those outside. In my past as working with churches and leaders and in our denomination, I've seen a lot of people that were hurt. And I'll be honest with you. I think that the majority of the hurt, it comes to the wife more than it does the guy, the husband. Maybe this is a little personal, but I'm just going to be there. I've seen more wives, when we send wives through Encounter Weekends, send husbands and wives, ministry couples through Encounter Weekends, I've seen more wives hurting than I have men, pretty much because men just decide we're going to get over it. Is that right? Just going to move on. But the wives, they struggle. So why are you talking about all of this, Rick? And what does this have to do with kingdom life? And I understand the walking wounded. Well, because I believe that the Lord wants us to walk victorious in this life, although we may be wounded. And the way that we can do that is through the person of the Holy Spirit. It's only through the person of the Holy Spirit. You see, if I have a set of religious rules hanging on my wall, and I try just to adhere to the religious rules, at some point I'm going to violate the religious rules, and I'm going to create and set myself up for failure. You know that first song that we sang this morning? That song is not a permission to sin. Your grace is enough. Your grace is, I appreciated Tyler telling me or sharing that with us this morning, that article that he read. Because we absolutely need the grace of the Lord. And the grace that we walk in now is the grace of the Holy Spirit. It's His life coming alive in us. It's Him. When you read and you go back and you study some of the Greek, if you have an Amplified Bible, you can find one online. If you don't, you can go to Bible.com and find an Amplified Bible. If you go back and read some of the texts that have to do with the infilling of the Holy Spirit, you'll see that it is a filling and a continually filling. It is a continual outpouring of the Holy Spirit. It's so that, I'm not going to actually do it, but it's so that you're continually just having this Spirit of God poured into your life, and you're continually walking in it. No matter where I go, the Holy Spirit's just pouring into me. Why? Because I'm walking in the presence of the Spirit, because the Holy Spirit goes with me wherever I go when I invite the reign of the King. Now, if I'm willful and I say, you know what, Jesus, I don't need you here, and I turn my back on Him, Psalms 139 tells us even if we make our bed in the depths of hell, He's going to be there with us. Now, all we have to do is turn around, but here's the deal. I can turn my back on Him, and I can walk out of the presence of the Lord. Not completely, but I can willfully disregard the presence of the Lord. And so when you and I are walking in the presence of the Lord, that infilling is taking place. And how does that happen? Because the King is reigning over my life. He's ruling over my life. As He's ruling and reigning over my life, you know what? I may get hurt. I may get wounded. I may take an attack, but it's okay because I've got the infilling of the Holy Spirit. Paul, in the book of Romans, he wanted to go to see the Romans, and he didn't know, and he'd already faced shipwreck. He'd already been faced beating, and he wanted to go and see the Romans, and he felt certain, I'm going to come see you one day, but he didn't know, you know what? I'm going to go through it again. There's going to even be more trial. There's going to be more tribulation that I face. And you know what? It's okay because I have this person of the Holy Spirit who's pouring into my life. And as He's pouring into my life, I have the grace. Your grace is enough. Your grace is enough to move me through the season of life, even when I'm walking wounded. Your grace is enough to carry me through this tough and challenging place. Darcy, thank you for your testimony. Thank you. Because God is enough. You know what I love that she kept saying? She said, I just keep walking. Yeah. If I could be your biggest cheerleader, Darcy, I want to say, just keep walking, Darcy. Just keep walking, Darcy. Just keep walking. I want to say that to all of us. Because as we're walking, God can do something with us. But so many times I've seen people, we get to that place where we get hurt, we get wounded, and we sit. We put ourselves in time out. And it's like, you're a bad boy. Go sit down. I understand that there are seasons, and don't take apart my message and think that I'm not saying there's not need for sabbatical, because I'm going to tell you, I'm a huge fan of sabbatical. I get sabbatical. I've seen so many people, so many pastors, so many people that are hurting and they're wounded. Some of you are hurting. Can I tell you that? Can I just be honest with you? Some of you are hurting and you're wounded because you're not honoring the sabbatical. Or you haven't. Maybe it's been in the past, and maybe you're getting to that place where you are now. Rick, you're being hard on us this morning. No, I'm just trying to tell you. You won't go out and cheat on your wife. Good for you. Well, honor the Lord on the Sabbath as well. Right? That's truth. It's truth and it's hard. But among us, there are walking wounded. Toy and I were having a conversation a couple weeks ago. I don't know. She's not in here, I don't think, but she said, I don't know, but ever since you got back from vacation, it's just like you're preaching differently, and I don't know what that means entirely. But here's what I think I know. I think I know that when I was on vacation, the Lord had an opportunity to encounter me, and I had an opportunity to encounter the Lord, and He did some renewal in me. And I knew I needed it. I was listening to a guy just recently who's retired. And he said, you know, I've been retired 3 years and I'm just now starting to feel normal. Wow. That's wow. And I'm thinking my 1 week's going to do good. And it is. It does. It does. It did. It does. It did. Yeah, it does. But among you and I, there are people, there are those of us in this room that are walking wounded. Now here's where I want to land today. You're in Exodus 18. We're going to read. I want to talk to you about, and this is kind of where I'm coming to. Before we go there, let me just say this. This message is about priorities. And this message is about to get real honest with you, because I'm just going to speak my heart. Now, the next 3 weeks, we're going to say some things, and I need y'all to pray. I'm going to be honest with you. In 3 weeks from today, I want to deal with depression. I'm not going to preach about being depressed, but we're going to touch on it. I've got a testimony from a friend that we're going to share that day. And it's also a testimony of the Lord's deliverance. Now, here's the deal. I need you to pray, because I understand that this is a big area, and the enemy will want to wreak havoc in our family, in our lives, in our church. Will you be praying with me? I'm just telling you, it's the battle will be on, so I need you guys praying. If you're a prayer warrior, this is how you can pray. Pray for the next 3 weeks. If you know people that are hurting the next 3 weeks, I want to ask you to pray. Because I'm praying that God will help us to minister to the walking wounded, because we are all that person. Now, we're going to look at Exodus 18 in just a minute. My number one responsibility as a pastor, and I have failed you. Pick on Bart for a second. Bart encourages the mess out of me. Is that appropriate to say in church? Yeah. Bart encourages me because I've said this a couple, 6, 8 weeks ago. I don't remember. It was one Sunday, and I was getting ready to preach, and you came up to me, brother, and you said, let me just pray for you before you preach. This is in no way intended as any sort of a guilt statement for anyone in this room. I don't mean that. Please don't let the enemy twist this. But I know I can count on one hand the number of people that have come up and done that for me. Not that I need to. I know it's my responsibility to pray. I know I need to. And that's where I failed. And so as a pastor, and maybe if you're a visitor and you're thinking, well, Rick, this isn't very encouraging. I just want to be real this morning. I need to pray more. I have got to pray more. So this message is about priorities. Let's look at Moses and his father-in-law and see what happened here. Exodus chapter 18, we're going to begin with verse 13. And so it was on the next day that Moses set out to judge the people. And the people stood there before Moses from morning until evening. They were really patient. They were really patient. So when Moses' father-in-law saw all that he did for the people, he said, "What is this thing that you're doing for the people? Why do you alone sit and all the people stand before you from morning until evening?" And Moses said to his father-in-law, "Because the people come to me to inquire of God. When they have a difficulty, they come to me. And I judge between one and another, and I make known the statutes of God and his laws." So Moses' father-in-law said to him, "The thing that you do is not good. Both you and these people who are with you will surely wear yourselves out. For this thing is too much for you. You are not able to perform it by yourself." Now, let's just pause right there. We're going to pick up again in 19 in just a moment. But do we have a real clear picture of what's going on here? The people have needs and they need clarity. They have issues. Some of them are walking wounded. And here's the reality. Some of them are walking wounded. Give me a hand, bro. Come on. Come out here. Some of them are walking wounded. Turn around. Let's walk this way. Some of them are walking wounded, and they're walking right beside each other. And they stop, and they stand in front of Moses, and they say, "Here's my problem." And then Moses plays Judge Judy for a second. And I'm just kidding about that part. And then he says, "Here's my problem." And then Moses speaks, and he gives us the ruling. Let's go sit back down. Well, you go sit back down. I'll keep preaching. So you have this dynamic at play where there are interpersonal relationships that are seeking out the guidance that they need. So not only are they walking wounded because I bottled up everything and I keep it inside, but they're walking wounded because you offended me, or I offended you, or you said something, or you didn't come see me, or you didn't speak to me, or you didn't say this, or you said that. And so they let these things bottle up. I'm just kind of giving you parallels of what we may face today. They may have been land issues. They may have been property issues. They may have been inheritance issues. And they stand before Moses to get the ruling, to get the understanding. And Moses' father-in-law looks at this and says, "Are you crazy?" Isn't that what he said? That was Hebrew. I'm kidding. He said, "Are you crazy? This thing that you're doing, it's going to wear you out. You can't possibly think." Now, I don't know. Probably, let's just say there's 1 million people. Let's just say there's 100,000 people. Let's just take it down. Maybe there's 100 people. Maybe there's 100 people before Moses, but I'm sure there were a lot more. And they're standing before him. And you're standing, you know, and you're like 3/4 of a mile back. What are you here to do today? I'm here to see Moses. When do you think you'll get to see him? Next Thursday? They were really patient. They stood before Moses to get the ruling. And Moses' father looks at him and says, "Are you crazy? You can't possibly do this. It's not healthy. You can't do this." So I want to just pause for a minute. I want to ask you, what are you doing? What are you doing that's beyond yourself? What is that thing that you're carrying around that you're trying to do that there is no way that if anybody with a little bit of gray hair and a few decades on you would walk up to you and say, "Are you crazy? You can't possibly do this." What are you doing? in your priorities, in your life, what are you doing that there's just no way it can be done? So let's look at the priorities. Verse 19. Listen now to my voice. I will give you counsel, and God will be with you. Now watch this. Stand before God for the people, so that you may bring the difficulties to God. When I look at that, do you know what I see? I see my job description. Stand before God for the people. See, there's two ways this thing can go. I can either stand before God for the people, or I can stand before the people for God. Which one do we think is going to be more effective? Yeah. Let me give you a one-word summary of what Moses' father-in-law said. Pray. He says, Moses, you need to get your priorities in line. And the first thing you need to understand is that you can't do it anymore on your own. You have got to stand before God for the people. Let's continue on in verse 19. Where was I? 19. Listen to my voice. I will give you counsel, and God be with you. Stand before God for the people, so that you may bring the difficulties to God. Verse 20. That's where I am. And you shall teach them the statutes and the laws, and show them the way in which they must walk and the work they must do. Can we pause there? And you shall teach them. After you have stood before God for the people, you shall teach them. You shall teach them. And then you shall show them the way in they should walk and the way they should work. In other words, and this is what this whole Kingdom Life series is about, what is the character of the kingdom of God? What is the character of Jesus? What is the life of Jesus in you? What is that about? It's about who you are, Kenny. In the innermost man, it's about who you are, man. And Stacy, not only is it about who you are, but it's about what you do. You see, none of us in this room, none of us get a pass on this. Are you ready? You love me, right? I don't do that very often. You still gonna love me when I'm done? None of us get a pass on this. We are all ministers. Can I say that? We all have a ministry. We all have a responsibility to serve the King. For some of you, you're a hand. For some of you, you're an appendix. No, we don't want to cut you out. We want you in the body. I don't understand why God did that to begin with. But some of you are his feet. Some of you are his ears. Some of you are his eyes or his heart. Some of you, but all of you, have a responsibility to fit, to serve in the kingdom. And so as we jump over to Ephesians chapter 4, where am I at? Ephesians chapter 4, we see that Paul is writing to the church and he says, hate when you can't find something. There it is. I had the wrong verse in mind. I was thinking 18. It wasn't. It was 10. He who descended is also the one who ascended far above all the heavens, that he might fill all things. And he gave himself. And he himself gave some to be apostles, and some prophets, and some evangelists, and some pastors, and some teachers. Why did he give those gifts? Jesus gave those gifts. Why did he give them? Verse 12 tells us, for the equipping of the saints, for the edifying of the body of Christ. That means we have a ministry. Yes, Susan, you have a ministry. And I'm going to tell you something. You go with it. Whatever God has put in you, go with it. I know you'll be submitted. Everybody has to be submitted. But some of you in this room, you have a ministry, and you've been waiting on Pastor Rick to come to you and say, would you do this? Will you just do me a favor? Will you just come tell me, this is what God has put in my life, and I feel like I need to do this. I'm looking for some people. I believe God is raising up a generation who won't just be passive, but that they will be active, and they will say, God, you have downloaded purpose. Love that word. You have put purpose in my heart. And because you've put purpose, you've downloaded into my life, I've got to walk this thing out. That's the kind of people that will change this world. If we just sit here on Sunday morning and this is all we do, we ain't going to change nothing except the thermostat. We want to change this world. I believe God wants to raise up a generation of people who are so passionate and they're so in love with Him. I didn't read these verses, but John chapter 14, you've got it there in your verse or in your bulletin. Verse 15, he says, if you love me, obey my commands. And then he begins to talk about the Holy Spirit. Also in John 14, in verse 21, he talks again about obey and love. Here's the deal. What are you saying, Rick? Why are you talking about obey and love? Because as we are following the Holy Spirit, we do these things. We obey and we love. We obey and we love. We obey and we love. So that when God says, this is what I want to do with you, this is the purpose I'm putting in your life, this is the thing that I want to do, you do it because you're doing it out of obedience to me, and you do it because you love me and because you know that I'm moving you forward. And Moses is helping us understand. Jethro is helping Moses understand. Moses is helping us understand what our priorities ought to be. Seek the Lord first. At least priorities for me. Teach the people. Teach them what? Teach them issues of character and integrity. Teach them how to walk in the way. The ministry, the assignment that I have for their lives. Every one of us has an assignment. Every one of us. Let me continue on in Exodus. I'll try to wrap this up soon. And you shall teach them the statutes and the laws and show them the way in which they must walk and the work they must do. Moreover, you shall select from all the people able men. Such as fear God, men of truth, hating covetousness, and place such over them to be rulers of thousands, rulers of hundreds, rulers of fifties, and rulers of tens, and let them judge the people at all times. How does Mountain Gap grow? How do we see and understand? When I say things like this, I know that there are some of you that think, well, Rick, you just want a big church so you can have a big church. No, I just realize there are a whole lot of folks going to hell. And that's why we're here. That's why we're here. So how do we grow? Collectively, we mature. And as we mature, we reach people. It's not in my job description to reach Pike County. Why are you talking about your job description, Rick? I know that there are churches, I'm sweating up here, where the pastor has to do it all. And I know that there are churches where that's the expectation. What I know is that any one man that tries to do everything, he's going to burn himself out. So why are you saying this fits into walking wounded? Because I've been wounded, not by you, but my own probably by my own lack of holding myself accountable to these things that Jethro told Moses. Does that make sense? Is it okay to say this? You may have less confidence in me, and that's okay. Maybe you'll see I'm just real. I'm not saying anything that's off color. And I also understand that there are some things that we say in church. Well, in some churches, some people say things that just don't need to be said. And I understand there's a There's a line of honor and respect, and I want to be sure that I'm not crossing that. I've asked Chris to come next week. I'll tell you a little snippet. Chris has epilepsy, and I've asked him to share his story. Chris has been a pastor, and I'm trying to remember the disease that it starts with an M. If any of you nurse-type people remember it or know of it, he lost all of his memory. He had to relearn everything. He lost the memory of his sons. This was a guy with an MDiv, Masters of Divinity. He lost all of that database. He had to relearn all of those things. God began to put those things back in his memory. Y'all got it? What's the, you don't know, I can't think of it. He'll say, oh, it's on the tip of my tongue. Meningitis.
Yes.
There you go. He dealt with meningitis, thank you. And then as a result of it, he lives with epilepsy. Chris has a story to tell. He helped Patrice and I, and I've shared this some. I think I've shared it. I'm pretty sure I have. In our past, when she had seizures, a couple of seizures, about 3 or 4 years ago was the last one. Chris was there for us, and his wife Debbie was there to pray for me and to help me. There are some folks, and this is going to be risky to say, there are some folks who just believe that epilepsy is a demon that you cast out. And that troubles me. There are in Scripture indicators of that. But then at the same time, there is also medical evidence that epilepsy is a medical condition. Okay? Just like depression. Just like bipolar. All of those things are very real. Now we pray and we ask God to help us through. But sometimes we just have to live with things. I've been praying for God to heal my left ear for decades now. And some of you have prayed it and you've told me. And he up to this point, he's not. I'm still very open. Would love for him to heal the hearing in my left ear. But right now, I just say, okay, Lord, if this is the condition, if this is what I have to walk with, I'll continue to serve you faithfully. I want us to get to that place where we begin to look at people. This is what I loved about this morning, the testimonies. This is why I changed the focus of my message. Because these testimonies that stood up, these ladies who stood up here and they talked about the Bold Venture Unconference, that's what I've always called it. I don't know why I called it a ladies' conference. It's anything but a conference. All of these testimonies were people. And there are people. And I don't remember, maybe it was Toy, I think, who said, we all have a story. And I love that. So for me, I'm letting you into my story and where the Lord is bringing me. The Lord is bringing me to this place of conviction that I've got to pray more. I've got to be sure that I'm teaching and hearing the Lord. That's just an always. And then I've got to train. But I skipped over something. I want you to go back with me to Exodus 18. And this was just brought to my attention recently, and I just didn't see it. I've read this I don't know how many times, but 18, verse 1. And Jethro, the priest of Midian, Moses' father-in-law, heard of all that God had done for Moses and for Israel, his people, that the Lord had brought Israel out of Egypt. Jethro heard about these things. Good news, right? Yeah. Then Jethro, Moses' father-in-law, took Zipporah, Moses' wife, after he had sent her back, and with her two sons, of whom the name of one was Gershom, verse 4, and the name of the other was Eleazar. Moses I think it's in Exodus 4, sent them back. Moses' family wasn't with him. And that's the one area that I am absolutely determined to get right. What are you saying, Rick? I've said it before publicly, and it's probably been months since I said it. But not my number one ministry. My number one ministry is my family. Because Moses didn't have his with him. My relationship with God is first, but my ministry is first to my family. Do you see how that works? Karen, would you come and play softly? This is different. We'll come back and talk about the kingdom some more. Would you play it as well? Again, I want us to sing that. Y'all stand together with me. Just want to offer an opportunity for prayer. This morning, I've talked a little bit about priorities, and you've heard the story of some ladies who the Lord has done something in their life. The Lord is doing things in their life is a better way to say it. The Lord is doing some things in some people. I'm really thrilled. I said I was excited earlier. I just really am thrilled about where we're going as a church. I think there's a lot of folks who need to hear this message. Not because it's Rick, and it's not the message. It's the message of hope. It's the message of the cross. It's what Tyler talked about. It's Jesus lifted high and all men drawn unto him. That's the message they need to hear. That's the message we need to be sure that it's declared loudly and boldly. With confidence. The greatest need in your life is not another counseling session. The greatest need in your life is not another pill. The greatest need in your life is not another episode of Oprah. The greatest need in your life is Jesus. It's the reign and the rule of the King in your life. Now, Jesus has gone to the Father, but he said, I'm leaving, but I'm leaving you another. And that another, Paul talks about in Romans chapter 14 or 15, I think it's 14. He talks about the unclean. He talks about the clean and not becoming a stumbling block. And then he says, but the kingdom of God is not, it's not of eating and drinking, but it's righteousness, peace, and joy. That's the kingdom of God. He talks about the kingdom in those terms. What does that mean to us? That means that it is the kingdom. It is the Holy Spirit working in my life. And the outflow of my life is righteousness. The outflow of my life is joy. The outflow of my life, it's all those fruit of the Spirit that we read about in Galatians chapter 5. Love. The outflow of my life is love. Why? Because I'm operating, I'm walking in the presence of the Holy Spirit. So love is a reality because he's working through me. Joy is a reality. Peace is a reality. Patience and kindness and goodness and faithfulness and gentleness and self-control. All of those things are a reality in my life because I'm walking in the presence of the King. And so, yeah, there may be days, church, where you're wounded, where you get hurt. We've got this thing. We want to just tell people, get over it. And we can't do that. That's the quickest way to put walls up. Just tell them to get over it. Because people are hurting. People are wounded. Some of you in this room are wounded. I know that. I just want to pray for the healer to touch you today. Can we do that together? In just a moment, and we're just going to open. We're just going to say one prayer, but I want to ask you to come just in response, in a step of faith. And say, God, I'm responding to this message. I want to ask you to come in just a moment and let us just pray for you as we sing. God, I pray that you would give us the courage that we need to step out now, Lord. And Lord, that we would, as we move forward, as we come to these altars, God, that you would meet us with healing there in Jesus' name. If there's anybody in this room you need healing this morning, if you're walking wounded, would you just make your way onto the front right now? Don't hold back. Come on, church. Come on. Go ahead and sing, Karen.
My sin.
Don't hold back.
Of this glory.
This is not a